only one he does. That's good stuff right there. I'll take a pinched nerve over leukemia any day of the week. Amen. Sunday night we were in the book of James, and I want you to go back there again tonight. James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. As several people really didn't enjoy that message Sunday night. And I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy preaching like that. But every now and then, we all just hush. Amen? Every now and then, your opinion is not always needed.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we ought to keep our tongue in our mouth. I wonder how many of you could say amen with me, as that's one of the biggest problems I have.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Amen.
The rest of them liars. Amen. Every one of them. We shoot our mouth off before we think. Amen. And say amen. You ever say stuff and you know you shouldn't have said it when you done? Yeah, it's too late. You can't get it back. Amen. But we're going in a little bit different direction tonight. James chapter number 5. James has a great deal to say about our tongue. Probably as much as anybody in the Bible. Maybe Proverbs might have more to say about the mouth. I'm pretty sure it does. But James talks in the New Testament about our mouth and our tongue probably more than anybody does. And I don't think the Bible would have spent so much time addressing it were it not a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It destroys churches. It destroys homes. Yeah. It destroys lives. There are people today, their lives, their ministries have been destroyed because of rumors. And you remember when the president started, and I'm not being political tonight, but back during the election, he started talking about the fake news. And I just thought it was funny that he said that, but then started investigating a little bit, and they do. They just make stuff up. If they ain't got a story to tell, they'll just be invent one. And you think because it's on the news, it must be true.
That's right.
To be honest with you, I don't believe much any of them say. Whether it's CNN, Fox News, or whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But they just make stuff up. And people's lives are destroyed. I believe when Herman Cain ran for president, I would have voted for that man. But I believe it was a bunch of propaganda against him, a bunch of lies, just destroyed that man's testimony and his chances at being the president. He said, well, I believe he did all that stuff. Well, you have no more proof of it than what you heard on the news. They just make up stuff, man. And it destroys people. Now, we don't live on that high of a level and that much in the public eye, but what we say and what we do and our actions is just as important as somebody on the 6 o'clock news. Would you agree? James has a great deal to say about our tongue. And what a blessing the gift of speech is. Could you imagine not being able to talk? Have you ever been around anybody who couldn't talk? I grew up with a young lady. She's a little bit older than me. Her name was Fonda Cole, Brother Boyd Cole's daughter, and she was deaf and dumb. She could not speak, and she would make noises, and I'm not going to do that because it sounds like I'm making fun of her, but I'm not. And you had to really be around her for quite a while to understand what she was saying. And I was around her enough to learn that she fussed more than she did anything. And me and her brother, she'd chew us out, boy, with them in point. Anyway, I knew whatever she was saying, it wasn't good. Amen. But can you imagine not being able to communicate? Can you imagine not being able to hold your children and say, I love you? God has given us the gift of speech.
Amen.
Without our tongues, we could not tell others about Him. We could not testify what God has done for us. But it's a shame we use it more for evil than we do for good. Would you agree with that? And I'm not talking about the world and the news out there. I'm talking about saved people. Amen. We'll shout and praise the Lord out of one side of our mouth and then gossip out the other side.
Amen.
If you're guilty, say amen right there.
Amen.
Man, I surely am. I get sucked in. You get in a conversation where two or three people are talking and you just have to put your two cents worth in. Maybe you don't, but I do.
Yes.
You know, I've been working on that for 20-something years. And I'm still having to work on it day in and day out. You know, the Bible says to study and be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. To study and be quiet. There are times you're just us, especially when people are talking about something they ought not to be talking about.
Right.
Amen. What a blessing the gift of speech is. You would have never heard a gospel message had it not been for the gift of speech.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Right.
Thank God he gave us that. I ain't gonna go there. But anyway, in James chapter number 5, we're not gonna look at this verse, but he mentions complaining in verse number 9. And then in verse number 12, he talks about swearing. And then we read the verses in chapter number 3 the other night, and on and on about the tongue, how it's a fire that's set on hell. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? A poison, like a rattlesnake. It's a pretty strong thing. But I believe with all my heart that our tongue can be used equally, if not more so, for the honor and glory of God than it can be for the devil.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it could. Every one of us, we have a purpose in our heart when we leave here tonight. I'm going to work on my mouth. Just because you heard something doesn't mean it needs repeating. And I'm not going to rehearse the message from Sunday night, but we got a lot of repeaters. A lot of repeaters telling stuff that you've heard, like third-party information. You should not ever repeat that. Matter of fact, you shouldn't even believe it.
Right.
You ought to take it with a grain of salt, let it be like water rolling off a duck's back, and just think that that's just more gossip.
Amen?
Amen. We okay?
Yeah.
But I believe our tongue could be used for a greater purpose than gossip.
Amen.
And now we ought to just connect our tongue and our thumbs. Because people do more damage with their thumbs on that little keyboard than they do anywhere else. I call it Sunday night keyboard courage.
Right.
Have those people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all, they wouldn't shoot their mouths off near as much to the one in his face.
Right.
Amen. I remember back year before last when Brother CT had the great revival meeting in Burlington, North Carolina. And it wasn't my place to pick that apart. But some preachers took it on themselves to be his judge and his jury, and they criticized everything from his methods to his music and his message. I mean, they just criticized him up one side and down the other. And that's easy to do when you're sitting in the privacy of your home and not looking a man in the eyeball. And most of the people running their mouth about him didn't even know him.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'll just tell you straight up, we're going to sing and preach with him here in a few weeks, well, April. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to our kids hearing him. Amen.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you straight up, he's my friend. You say, well, I disagree. I don't give a rip.
Amen.
You're going to disagree with something I say every now and then.
Yes, right.
And I listen to you long enough, I'm going to disagree with something you say.
Yes,
are we okay?
Yes,
all right. Anyway. Now, the greatest two uses of our tongue. Here they are, praise and prayer.
Amen.
Praise and prayer. We ought to use our tongue more for bragging on him than we do complaining.
Amen.
Are you listening? Through all this trouble and all this trial with the breast cancer, I haven't heard Miss April say one negative thing.
Praise God.
All she's done is brag. Now, she might have to Jesse in private. I don't know, but I don't think she has. She's just trusting God and bragging on God. And you know what I'm saying? And that's hard to do in a time of trial, in a time of testing. So if she can do it in a time of trial, surely we can do it when ain't nothing going on. Amen. You ought to be able to go to work tomorrow and brag on God a little bit instead of griping about your job. There's probably somebody standing out there holding a homeless sign with swap places with that job so bad, quit.
Yeah.
I worked in Board of Education for years where Brother Clint and Brother Randy worked. Easiest job any person ever had in their life. It had tough days, but good night, man. I mean, we had it in May. My old boss, he's in heaven now. He let me take off and go fishing. Everybody don't know that, but he did. He didn't just say, cough for me real good, not tell him to sit. He texts me here today, are they biting? Amen. It's a great job. But man, them guys stood around and complained about that job. I mean, do they still do it, Brother Clint? They still stand around and complain about the gravy job. But anyway, we use our mouth more for harm than we do for good. Now, God gave you everything. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11, the Bible said everything God made, he made for his glory and for his pleasure. Is that right? And I don't think complaining and mealy mouthing gives God glory at all. Amen. I believe with all my heart we got one of the greatest churches in this part of the country. Do we have our faults? You better know we do. But I don't have time to sit and look for all the faults when I'm looking at the blessing. If you get your eyes on what God's doing instead of what God's not or what's wrong, then you won't gripe near as much about your church. Amen. Y'all gripe about everything. Gripe about the nursery. Gripe about this. Gripe about that. Man, look, thank God we got a nursery. Y'all don't care?
Amen.
And then women go back there and keep a nursery, and all they do is talk about the kids they're keeping. Well, I just laid an egg right there. Your job is not to discuss whether his mother or her mother's a good mama, or your job is to take care of that baby so his mama can hear the preaching. So what we'll do one Sunday morning, we'll just close the nursery and bring them all in here. Let you see what a difference it makes. I know, because I stick my head in there every Sunday morning. Most days, it's a jungle. You couldn't pay me to keep the nursery.
Yeah.
Amen. I've had them in cages. Amen. I'm kidding a little bit. I sure would change somebody else's kid's diaper, amen? Anyway, we use our tongue more for harm than we do for good. And the greatest two things you can do with your tongue is give God glory, praise Him, thank Him, and then pray. Most powerful tool in our arsenal, we use the least of all. Do you know what privilege prayer is? You know what a privilege, you know what a gift that is that God gave us when He gave us the gift of prayer? When He said we could enter boldly into His throne room and find grace to help in our time of need? Do you know what a privilege it is when He said, ask and you shall receive? Do you know what a blessing it is when He said, you have not because you ask not? Do you know what a blessing it is when He said, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Let me get that right. It's close, Sam. The fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm telling you, man, prayer is a powerful thing. Amen. You know what Miss Elizabeth needs tonight? She needs our prayer.
Yes.
Thank God for the ladies who will take her food, but that's not the greatest thing you can do. The greatest thing you can do is pray. Brother Randy needs our prayer tonight.
Yes.
Miss Dawn needs our prayer tomorrow. She needs our prayer right now. Miss April, now we got a lot to pray about. I mean, boy, this has been a heavy, heavy week. Brother Jerry Clausen's on his way back right now from Pensacola, Florida. He had to preach his grandmother's funeral this afternoon. Did not know he was going to have to until last night, and they just kind of sprung that on him. But and I'm telling you, he had a tough time, and I'm telling you, he needs our prayers. We got a church full of people. I haven't seen the prayer sheet yet, but I'm pretty sure it's probably front and back, Brother Stacy, is it not?
Tommy's got it.
Brother Tommy's got it anyway. It's always front and back. We got a lot to pray about.
Amen.
But isn't it a shame we spend more time talking about useless stuff? Somebody said about their husband, and I know exactly who it was, but I'm not going to say. Somebody said about their husband, she said, my husband is a wealth of useless information. That's what she said. She said, my husband, said it to his face, said, my husband is a wealth of useless information. You know those people who always know something, and you're pointing at your dad, okay? I wasn't who it was, but it wasn't Sister Gail, Brother Bob, I promise. But go home and beat her up or nothing, amen. Bob ain't happy about that. I'm dead. I'm going to have to call time out and do some family counseling. We were up in Colorado a few years ago, and my wife and I don't know who all was there, but we were there with Brother Caleb, and we was out to eat, and everything that came up, me and Brother Caleb had an answer, and they started calling us Google and Bing. Y'all remember that? You get around those people, and sometimes people do. They really do know a lot about a lot of things, but sometimes it doesn't matter what you know. We'll just keep our mouth shut, amen? So anyway, I'm going to talk about using our tongue for good. What if we pray? I wonder if we can figure it up how many words we speak a day. Way too many, Brother Bob. I would agree. I'd agree 100%. We speak way too many words every single day. And a lot of it is just useful and wasted habits. And if we could take more time in praising and thanking God for what He's done and bragging on Him, you know what it'd do? It'd make the gospel appealing to others.
Yes, sir.
If we spent more time, I'm not talking about being a zealot and overbearing and cramming the gospel down somebody, but just telling people how good God, man, you don't realize how good God's been to me. I mean, just bragging on the Lord, not preaching to people and condemning people, but just bragging on how good God's been. Sooner or later, they're going to think, man, I need to get to know Him myself.
Yeah.
But instead, I'm afraid they look at most Christians and think, if that's what it's all about, I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Was it Brother Charles who said Sunday night, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? By a jury of your peers. Say the jury was made up of your co-workers. Would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? People know you about what you discuss and what you talk about. I guarantee you, men on your job, you know who's a golf fanatic. You know who's a hunting fanatic. You ain't got to stand around them long. They're going to talk about what they love. And I believe you really love the Lord. You'll talk about it. Amen. Now, I ain't read any scripture yet, but I'm about to. In James chapter number 5, I'm going to start at around verse number 13. And I'm going to read the rest of the chapter, if that's all right with you. And I'm going to read it if it ain't all right. James said, is any among you afflicted? Let him what?
Pray.
Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Some of y'all been talking about you wish it quit raining, hadn't it? Well, maybe the Lord's sending what we need. This may be a dry summer, amen? Well, be careful what you complain about. But Elijah prayed and the clouds shut up. I'd say that's a pretty powerful prayer, wouldn't you? Anyway, let's see. In verse 18, the Bible said he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now that's some pretty good advice right there. Going from 13 down through verse number 20. There's a good way to use our tongue, Brother Spartan, right there, to pray. I believe in silent prayer. I pray when I'm going down the road. How about you? In this part of the country nowadays, I left the hospital yesterday in Canton, and took me well over 2.5 hours to get home. From Canton Road, took me 1.5 hours to get to Hardy Chevrolet. Never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, boy, I was in the flesh. Then I got right with God, and then I got in the flesh again. Then I got right with God, and I got in the flesh again. And I probably got saved 15 times. If I'd have been a charismatic, I need to get baptized 15 times. Y'all just have to keep ducking me, amen? But I pray when I'm driving, I believe in silent prayer. But I believe there's a time when you bow your head, you're open your mouth and pray in an audible voice. Amen. I believe people want to hear you pray. You bow your head in the restaurant. I think you ought to pray audibly.
Yes, sir.
We gather around this altar. I think we ought to pray audibly. We ought to use the tongue that God gave us to pray. Now, he tells us in these last verses of this chapter what we ought to pray for. In verse number 13, he said, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." We ought to pray for the suffering.
Yes.
Are you listening? There's people in our church that are suffering from this, that, and the other, and we ought to be praying for them every single day of our life.
Amen.
We ought to, let me say it again. We ought to be praying for the suffering every single day of our life. Sister Diane's sitting there. I'm glad she's back in church. She was in a bad wreck a few weeks ago, and we text back and forth. And every time she texted me, she told me how bad she was hurting. And I didn't make a lot of that. I'm sure she was. I mean, she was banged up from head to toe. And you know what I did? I prayed, Lord, help her and comfort her. And God be with her and ease the pain in her body. Hey, we ought to pray for those that are suffering. Don't tell me you ain't got something to pray for. Don't tell me that you don't have something to pray about. Every one of us do. Listen, we're all going to suffer. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
In this life, the Lord said, "Ye shall have tribulation." We're all going to suffer. And it's not always physical suffering. Sometimes it's mental suffering. The devil is attacking the minds of God's people today like he never has before. People are absolutely going crazy. Well, when I was a kid, you didn't hear about nobody in South Texas walking into a church on Sunday morning and killing nearly everybody in the place. You didn't hear about that stuff. You know what that was? They're whacked out in the head, man. The devil has got their minds in such a state. You rarely heard about a 14-year-old child taking their own life. I mean, that was a rare thing. They did. It did happen, Brother Jack, but you didn't hear about that very often. I mean, it was a rare thing. Somebody in school committed suicide. You didn't never hear about that. And now they got websites to tell them how to do it. Yes. Isn't that sick?
Yes.
I believe they ought to be arrested.
Yeah.
Well, there's freedom of speech. Yeah, call it what you want. Somebody telling a kid how to take their life. And something wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the devil preying on the minds of our children.
Yes, sir.
People are suffering. Families are suffering. We come to church and we put on our best Sunday smile. But there's husbands and wives. Their relationship is suffering. And instead of running our mouth about it, we ought to pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's no heartache in the world worse than that.
Amen.
When somebody you love with all your heart does you wrong or cheats on you or walks away and leaves you, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a hard thing. And our job when that happens, and when it happens, of course it's news around here. Why don't y'all talk about people being saved as much as you do people making mistakes? When people go through that, we ought to be on our face weeping and begging God to help them.
Yes.
To restore that relationship, to restore that home and that marriage, man. But those people are suffering and they're hurting. And by us sharing that burden with other people, that's not helping them.
No, that's right.
The best thing you can do is use your tongue for the purpose God gave you and pray for.
That's right.
You say, "Unless God, that will never happen in my life." You better be careful. A dear preacher friend of mine got caught up in a mess with another woman years ago. Dear friend of mine, one of the greatest preachers I've ever known. There were several other preacher friends of mine. They thought it was their ministry to travel around the country and expose his sin publicly from every pulpit they could get by. You remember that? They did. Somebody had made a copy of a letter that he had written, and they got a hold of that letter, and they actually stood in pulpits and camp meetings and read the letter. Now, where in the Bible does it say that? of the two preachers who did that the most, both of them, both of them went down the same road.
Well,
and I did not sit back and say it serves you right. But I won't. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Our job is not to expose everybody's sin.
That's right.
The Bible talks about concealing the matter.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about cover up. I'm talking about hushing our mouth.
That's right.
Praying for one another.
Amen.
I mentioned this Sunday night. We take a trip like we had. Our kids went up to Brother Mark. What a meeting. What a meeting. I wasn't even there. That's all I've heard about. I called Brother Mark on the phone. He just sat there and wept like a baby, telling me what all God did in that meeting. I've come by the real move of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our kids come home fired up, and they're still fired up.
Right.
One bad thing happened on the trip, and that's all the church is talking about.
Listen.
We ought to use our tongue to pray for those who are suffering.
Amen.
You know, we got people in our church right now that are hurting.
Yes,
you know what they need? They need our prayer.
Yes, sir.
They don't need us to tell it to as many people as we can.
Amen.
Amen. If you want something found out, just tell a Baptist. Are y'all okay? Just tell a Baptist. They will repeat. I guarantee you, I can make up a lie about somebody here tonight and pull somebody aside. And I ain't going to say anybody. Just anybody. Just about anybody. Say, hey, look, keep this quiet, but pray for so-and-so. He's done this, this, and this. Do you think when you tell somebody that, it's really going to be kept quiet?
Yeah.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to go to the next person and say, hey, keep this quiet.
Yeah.
Now look, I really ain't supposed to say nothing.
Yeah.
Well, why are you?
Right.
I'm very careful about who I confide in.
Amen.
Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
I'm talking about very careful of who I confide in.
Amen.
I worry about myself.
Yeah.
I can't keep a secret. I just can't. I'm just being honest with you. I cannot buy my wife a gift and hide it. I just give it to her. I bought her a pair of earrings the other day for Valentine. I messed up. I should have bought them Valentine's Day. But I come home and I thought, and if I'm that way, I'm going to assume just about everybody's that way. You get a little juicy tidbit, you will repeat. But we ought to use our tongue for praying for the suffering instead of making their suffering worse. Amen. It's one thing if you go through a bad deal or you mess up, or and all of us have. I'm not standing here by myself tonight. We're all messed up. Bible said a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. If I mess up and Brother Freddie knows about it, that's embarrassing enough. But if Brother Freddie gets up here and tells everybody about it, I won't come back. How many times have we had people tell us to our face they'd come back to church, but they were too embarrassed? We've heard that over and over again. Why? Because everybody knows their dirty laundry.
Right.
Used to, you could conceal the matter a little bit. Not today. Not with social media. Not only do we make sure all of us know about it, we make sure the whole world can see it. If you wouldn't appreciate it if it happened to you, trust me, they don't appreciate it when you're doing it to them.
Right.
Verse number 13, we ought to pray for those that are afflicted, those that are suffering and hurting. And verse number 14, he says, pray for the sick. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Is any sick among you? You know what he said? Hey, will y'all pray for me? I still believe in the anointing of the Lord.
Amen.
I still believe it.
Amen.
I still do it. We don't do it in here. We kind of do it privately with the men. I don't like to make a spectacle out of it. But anyway, we still do it. I believe in praying for the sick.
Amen.
I believe in praying for Sister April.
Amen.
I believe God can do for April what He did for Ashley.
Amen.
I'm sick of hearing about cancer, man. It's just, I don't know if it's the food they're feeding us, I don't know what it is, but it's just so wild. You just never hear about it. Rare. If somebody got cancer, you might hear it once a year, and now it's every day. Amen. Well, we need to be praying for her. Let me ask you a question. If April were your daughter, would you be praying?
Right.
If she were your sister?
Amen.
Yeah. It changed the way you pray, wouldn't it?
Amen.
She is our sister.
Amen.
And she's got a smile on her face and joy in her heart, but deep down she's scared to death. Whether she won't say it or not.
Amen.
Are you listening? We need to pray for the sick. Amen. There is sick among us. As long as we live in these bodies, Brother Jack, we're going to deal with ailment. Because our bodies are falling apart. They have been since they started the day we were born and have been in decline ever since. I laughed today. Brother Levi told his mama he had two gray hairs. It's really going to be funny when he gets more gray-headed than me. I'm really going to laugh. I don't care if mine turns gray, long as it don't turn loose. I would be an ugly bald head. My head stepped like a fish and got knots all over it. But we ought to pray for the sick. Listen, it's not a blanket formula.
Right.
Are we okay? A lot of times people have a hard time. Why did he answer her prayer and he did not answer mine? God doesn't always answer prayer in the exact same way, but I believe He always answers. I prayed as hard for Chris Butler as I did for Ashley. I prayed just as hard for him as I did Sister Ashley. The Lord took him to heaven.
That's right.
Did I have a hard time with that? No. The Lord knew what He was doing. Not me. Sister Diane, I ain't trying to upset you. But we did. And we prayed. We prayed hard. We prayed hard. God, I don't understand it. I truly don't. But I believe God answered our prayer. He healed him. He healed him 100%. He's doing better than all of us put together. Him and Eli both, if they got four wheelers in heaven, they're riding. Which I don't think they do. They might be riding horses. Amen. I know there's horses in heaven. God doesn't, it's not just a blanket prayer that it's just always going, but we got to have faith and trust that God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And when somebody gets sick, we don't say, well, we're not going to pray because God didn't do it like we thought He ought to have done it last time. We're just going to pray every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time, every case, every issue, everything that arises, we're going to pray. I prayed for Maddie. Candace stopped me the other night and said, please pray. They think she might have, was it lupus? They think she might have lupus. And I thought, man, I don't even know what that is, but it don't sound good. So I prayed for that. Hallelujah. It's a pinch of nerve. How about that?
Amen.
I believe in praying for those that are suffering. I believe in praying for the sick. Now, look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. The Bible said Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now listen, why did Elijah pray for it not to rain? He was praying for his nation. He's praying that God would get the attention of some people. I believe we ought to pray for our nation.
Amen.
Do you spend more time praying for your country or griping about its leadership?
Yeah.
Hey. Are you all right? You'll sit there and listen to Fox News and you'll hear all that. Yeah, 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 yeah. What if they spend as much time praying as they do? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stand even listening to that stuff anymore. I used to be hooked on it. You get on there and you got five people yelling at one another all at the same time. It gives me anxiety. They don't let none of one another talk. They talk over the top of each other. They don't want to talk about it. Man, they sure do have a lot to say. What if they spend some time praying like they do Jack and Jeremiah? And then we're going to pray for our country. I don't care if you like Trump or not, but he's your president.
That's right.
Can I make a confession? I did not like Obama.
Hey.
I didn't like his politics. He said, oh, it's a race. They ain't got nothing to do with race. I love Herman Cain. He was whiter than Obama.
Oh, yes.
I love Herman Cain. Love to listen to his radio show. He'd talk about the Lord in four verses. I remember he used to say, well, my King James Bible says, I thought, I like this dude. Automatically, he got my attention. Amen. They ain't got nothing to do with race. But you know what? I didn't like him, but I prayed for him. You know what I prayed? I prayed God would direct him whether he asked for his direction or not. I believe God can intervene when his intervention is not what not wanted. How about you? Amen. I believe God can intervene in our country. I believe we can see revival again. I really do. I'm praying for America. Man, I got history books at home, history that they don't teach in our public schools anymore. You know, by the way, they want to do away with that history. Our first 100 years of history, they want to take completely out of our school. Why? They want to eradicate God out of it. Because you cannot study our history and not see the hand of God all over that thing. You can't go to Washington, D.C. and not see the hand of God. It's scripture everywhere you look. Them buildings are engraved with scripture. The Supreme Court has got Moses holding the law.
That's right.
The Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Isn't that funny? And they sat right there and voted out of schools and
everywhere else.
Yeah. Somebody told me the other day they voted to put prayer back in school in Florida. Is that right? Somebody told me that. Just in one county? Floyd County, Georgia did? I like it. Somebody said, well, that's going to open the door. I don't give a rip.
Yeah.
Let the Muslims pray. They ain't talking to nobody.
Right.
Come on, God. That bothered me. Well, they're going to get to come in with their prayer rug. I don't care anybody else can do it. If we can pray to the one who is with us.
Amen.
I think that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Well, never mind. We'll pray for a nation. I heard the president said he wanted to arm the teacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like that too.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. As long as they train them, teach them how to use it.
That's right.
Well, some of y'all don't like that. I think they'll do it.
Yeah.
Stop a whole lot of that mess.
Yeah.
I went to school, all our teachers were armed. They had a stick. I mean, they used it. My second grade teacher, David Cole, grandma, she had a rope. And she can do more harm with a 12-inch ruler. I pity the fool come in her class with a Uzi. She'd get that hand back and tear you a new one, son, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
She didn't call you out in the hall. You got it right there in front of everybody. It's different. Anyway, we're going to pray for our nation. America needs us. America needs us.
Amen.
I had, who was it? I think it was Brother Mark. It was Brother Mark. They've asked him to sit on the school board up there where he lives in North Georgia. He said, you think I ought to do that? I said, if you got time.
Yeah.
Don't let it consume your life. Don't become a politician, but yeah. I preached with can never remember his name. Any of you know it, shouted out the missionary of Washington, D.C., Chuck Hardy. Brother Chuck Hardy, we was preaching together in Montana. He said, we need more Christians to run for office.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Ain't nobody running for office but crooks.
Yeah.
Right. But when they was voting on liquor by the drink down here to City Hall, we went. Remember that? And there was a black lady on our city council, and they got to her for her vote. You know what she said? Y'all know what I think. You know my vote. I'm against it. In other words, she said, you ain't got to ask. And she was vocal about it. She wasn't hiding. Amen. Now, if we'd have had more like-minded people on there, y'all okay? Amen. Lord, pray for our nation. Lastly, I'm done. Verse number 19, I'm going to stay here for a minute. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
Amen.
We ought to use our tongues for praising and praying. We ought to pray for the suffering, for the sick. We ought to pray for our nation. Lastly, and I'm done, we ought to pray for those that have strayed.
That's right.
We are the world's worst about talking about people who are out of church. I expected quietness right there. Because probably everybody in this room is guilty of it.
Yeah. Amen.
What have we done to give it back?
Come on.
We okay?
Yeah.
We will pray for those who are out.
Yes.
How many of you know somebody who's out?
Yeah.
Not just out of our church, I'm talking about out. What have you done about it? I told a man the other day, I said, look, I don't care if you come back to our church. I wish you would, but just go.
Amen.
Find somewhere that's preaching the truth and get back under the Bible.
Amen.
You need the fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Who are out, then we do talking about those who are out.
Amen.
Nobody calls me and says, Brother Eddie, what about so and so? Is there anything I can do to help? Nobody asks me that. All they want to know is, what's going on? What's going on? What do you know? Or do you know? Brother Eddie, have you heard? Blah, 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 blah. We okay? I asked this man's permission tonight before church ever started if I could use him right here for an illustration. And he said, by all means. Brother Daniel Davis sat in church tonight. He was out for a long time. I don't mean a month or two. I'm talking about several years. He wasn't going somewhere else. He was just out. Went through a lot of junk in his life. And just got down and got out. His sister remained faithful, Brother Clint's wife. Not one time did she corner me up and tell me bad stuff about her brother.
Amen.
I don't remember Brother Clint, but I remember. But I don't know how many times she corner me up and said, please, pray for that.
Amen.
She wouldn't say why. She would just say, pray for my brother. If he don't get some help, Brother Eddie, I'm worried about it. Please pray for Daniel. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I believe the reason you're sitting here tonight is because a sister loves you enough not to gossip around town and tell everybody in the church what's going on in your life, but she loves you enough that she said, pray for my brother. There he sits tonight with his precious wife. I believe he was prayed back in.
Yeah.
I believe if somebody as hard headed as Daniel Davis can be prayed back in. I thought he was going to say, his wife said amen. If he can be prayed back in, all those we raised our hands about could be too.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I told a fellow the other day, I said, look, dude, you're just going to have to get old. But that's their part.
Yeah.
Our part, we're going to have to pray for them.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't hurt to reach out.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we go around and say, hey, pray for so-and-so. You know, he's... Let's pray for so-and-so. You know, she's... You know, that's not what it says.
Right.
It's personal. One-on-one. I don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life, and I don't want to. Some pastors micromanage, and they want to know every little detail of everybody's life. I'm not that man.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not the preacher that's going to stand up here and tell you, ladies, I don't care if you read a secular novel, but let me proofread it first. That's not me. You know, my business, that's between you and your husband. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Amen.
That's not me. I don't want to know the dirt in your life.
That's
but
right.
Sometimes I have no choice but to hear and to know. And I want to do right. I'm not saying I always have. I shut my mouth off when I should. Guilty. And I'm not preaching to the choir. Are we doing more to hurt those that are down? Or are we doing more to help? The greatest thing you can do is get on your face and pray for them earnestly.
Amen.
Like you would if it was your own family.
Amen.
Listen, if it was a member of your family that messed up, you wouldn't tell anybody about it. I hope. When it's a member of our church, we ought not do it either.
That's right.
We'll take that thing, take that petition, and bring it to God.
Amen.
Everybody don't have to know.
Amen.
Including me. I don't have to know. It doesn't bother me when somebody says, Brother Eddie, would you pray for me? God knows. Some people can't leave it at that. They got to know what it is. I don't.
Because
God knows.
That's right.
I don't know how many people I pray for, but I don't have a clue what I'm praying for. Sometimes I got an idea, but I don't really know. And I just pray and say, God, you know. Do you know what they're going through? You know what they need. Amen. We'll pray for those that stray. And there's some that stray that ain't never left. They're still sitting in church. But they're just so distant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't take much of them to stay in my own house. But what do we pray for? I remember I grew up in church and I'm not preaching by. I remember growing up in church, people used to go get people. I don't think it's out of order. People get up in church, they're just singing, whatever, altar call, and they just go to the pews and say, come on, let me pray.
Amen.
Let me pray with you. Russ Stacy does that all the time. That doesn't bother me one bit. Somebody going through something, fighting a battle, I watch him on Sunday morning. He ain't very spiritual, but he's spiritual enough to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, brother. I think that's a good trade. That we'll go grab a brother, sister, who's in need, and say, come on, let me pray. Nothing wrong with that. It's still in order. Amen?
Amen.
Let's use our tongue for what God intended it for His honor and for His glory. The devil's got enough glory out of it. Let's turn around that thing and use it for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand up for you.